Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and just the presence of the Lord in this place, opportunity to be in church. And so I trust you feel the very same way. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 7, Genesis in chapter 7, we've been studying now for some time on the life of Noah. And studying the life of Noah is really studying about the flood, the great flood. And we've seen much about the civilization before the flood. There's almost 1700 years of civilization of reproduction on the earth before God destroyed it. And so 1700 years, that's a long time. Many have speculate different amount of people that would have been on the earth at that time. We have the genealogies of just two of those, the genealogies of of Cain, which represented the sons of man, and then we see the representation of Seth, which are the daughters of God, and so we know that the two there, and then they come together, as they should not have, and we find unequally yoked marriages, and it continued to go in a wrong direction, till we find that the world was filled with nothing but sin. And the imagination of man's minds was only evil continually. And that's what happens when you lose sight of God and you start going in a different direction. Well, God, we find that he raised up Noah, which would have been a righteous man in his day, preacher of righteousness. And God instructed Noah to build an ark, and he revealed to Noah that he would be destroying the world. The earth and everything upon it. And so we've been studying a lot of those different things. Now, it seems like it's been a while because we had revival, then I was gone for Heartland graduation, and then I was gone for a week of vacation. So it has been about a month, I guess, since we've been studying this. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of history. The last lesson we taught was in chapter 7, verses 7 to verse 16. And at this particular time, it was time for Noah to enter the ark. And up till that point, it had been 120 years when God said, that told Noah that he would destroy the world with the flood. And he was going to give humanity 120 years. That's how long it would take Noah to build the ark. And so Noah, during that time, he was known as, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, a preacher of righteousness. And even though Noah, we've seen this, even though Noah could not reach his generation, he reached his family. And that's the only ones that God would save from the great flood was Noah and his family. Not that anyone else didn't have an opportunity. They did. They did. God allowed the witness of Noah, the preaching of Noah for 120 years. God allowed the building of this great ark, you know, for 120 years. And so they had a witness, but he wasn't able to reach his generation. If we're not able to reach our generation, can I tell you, the only comfort we can have in that is reaching our families. And he reached his family. I gave you three things that the Bible tells us that he did. And he pointed them to a higher authority. How important it is to know, for children to realize there's a higher authority than just parents. Amen? A godly parent will acknowledge, seek first God and tell his children that I'm raising you according to a higher authority than myself. The second thing, he led by example. Noah led by example. He showed them what it was like to be a righteous man. He showed them what it was like to serve God in building the ark. The third thing is he controlled what influenced his family. Put them to work on the ark. I guarantee you what he did. He put them to work. He controlled that influence. And we find that he reached his family. And what a blessing that was. Well, now we're going to be looking here. After that, Genesis chapter 7. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 17 down to verse 24, and we look at what happens once they enter the ark. The flood comes. And so that's what we'll be studying tonight, the actual flood and what the Bible says about the flood, okay? And so this is Wednesday night. Everybody's been struggling and fighting and battling different things, and you made it to church. Pat yourself on the back. Amen. Go ahead. If you can't reach your back, have the person next to you do it, you know. But you made it here. That's half the battle, though. Amen. The other half the battle. Plug into what God has for you tonight, all right? Put everything else out of your mind. The most important thing now is not whatever's going on tomorrow. The most important thing tonight is what God has for you this evening. And so plug into what God has for you tonight as we study here in the book of Genesis chapter 7. Let's start reading here, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed. Notice that word prevailed. You'll see it quite often here in these verses. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your care for us. We thank you for this opportunity that you've made available to us to be in church on this Wednesday night. And for everyone that's here, for they took advantage of that opportunity. And I just pray, God, that you would open up each and every one of our understandings, give us that ear to hear what you have for us, and then fill us, Lord. Give us that spiritual help, that spiritual food that we have need of tonight. I pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, as we look at the great flood here, there would be nothing before or after that would be able to compare with this great flood. Nothing. In the entire history of humanity, there has been nothing before or after that would be able to compare. I mean, we think of the tsunamis, and we just realize, and we've seen the devastation that the tsunamis have done in even our generation here not that long ago. And yet, the tsunami and the devastation that it caused would be just a drop in a bucket in comparison to this great flood. This great flood and the damage, destruction that it had upon earth. Now, as we understand this, we know that humanists deny the biblical account of the flood. And they'll deny it because they would have to acknowledge, first of all, that there's a God. And they don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. Second of all, they would have to acknowledge the purpose for the flood would have been the judgment of sin. They don't want to acknowledge that there is going to be a spiritual judgment upon sin. And so for a lot of different reasons, they will not acknowledge the flood. But in Luke chapter 17, and we'll refer to this a little bit later as well, but let me read it to you. Luke in chapter 17, verse 26 and verse 27. 2,000 years ago, the very Son of God came to this earth. God manifested in the flesh. And Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago, verified the historical event of the flood. Don't you love that? I don't know about you, but I'm going to take God's word for it. He's the only one that had an eye account of what took place. He saw it. Luke in chapter 17 says this, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have Jesus coming some 2,000 years ago, and he just verified that the historical account of the book of Genesis was correct. no matter what humanists say, no matter what the world says. Today, most archaeologists and even human science point to the earth being covered by water. I think we have that understanding now that there's a reality. In order for there to be the fossils that we have today, there had to be some kind of catalytic event, and the flood would have given us the account, or the world being under complete underwater would give us the account of why we have the fossils as we do. Now, they don't take into consideration the time period of the Bible. They'll take you back to millions and billions of years, if you will. But we know that God is true on all points. But they will not accept the biblical account, nor do they accept an intelligent design in the flood. I'm here to tell you tonight that there was an intelligent design in the flood. There's not only an intelligent design in creation. And I think that, I mean, anyone ought to be able to see that and to understand what's been taking place since we've been on this planet Earth and since we've been looking back over it. And you can't help but understand that there's an intelligent design. You have to be taught opposite that. But not only was there an intelligent design in the creation of all things, we find that everything that God has done, everything that God does, whether it be past, present, or future, has an intelligent design. He has a purpose for everything that He does and how He does it. And tonight in the book of Genesis, we find here that He reveals to us somewhat of the intelligent design of the flood. So what we're looking at tonight. First of all, what was the cause for the flood? Evolution? Was it just something that because of the millions and billions of years, it just was there water to start with, or did the water come upon the earth? How did it all happen? But somewhere or other, just through evolution, that there was a great flood on the earth. Can I tell you that according to the scriptures, God knew exactly when and God knew exactly how long it would take to flood the earth. God caused this to happen, not evolution. As God created and God designed a judgment upon the earth, and the judgment upon the earth was going to be the flood. He knew exactly when He would do it, and He instructed Noah to build an ark because he would hold off on the flood for 120 years. After 120 years of God dealing with humanity through Noah's preaching and through the building of the ark, after 120 years, exactly as God had designed it, exactly when God planned it, we find that He tells Noah to get on the ark because in 7 days, I'm going to start all the flood. The rains will begin, and the earth will be flooded. An intelligent design, a purpose for what was going to take place. He knew when, and He knew how long it would take to flood the earth. Can I tell you that verse 17 and 18, that's what the Bible says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and waters increased and bare up the ark and was lifted up above the earth. The ark was not designed for direction. It just was designed to float. It did not have twin outboard motors on it. It didn't have any way of going where it wanted to go. It just was designed by God to float. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. He caused the waters to be above anything, to have to worry, not to have to worry about the ark running into anything. There wasn't anything that the ark could run into that was going to sink it. Chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth." Now He's telling Noah, after He told him to build the ark, He's telling him why He's building the ark. And He says, I, even I, No, it's designed. Can I tell you that helps us today to know that things just don't happen for no reason, with no cause. They just don't evolve without meaning. But Almighty God, an intelligent design. In an intelligent design, everything has purpose and everything has a plan. Almighty God has a purpose and a plan for all things, and we have to be aware of that. We need to live our lives understanding that we worship and we serve a God that has intelligence. It has purpose and a plan for all things. And so he tells Noah, he says, while you're building this, understand this. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Mark it down, Noah, because I'm going to do it. Noah worked 120 years building the ark. He worked 120 years ministering to his family and preaching the gospel to the world, amen, preaching what God had him to preach, that of righteousness, what was right in God's eyes, which was very opposite what was going on in the world for 120 years. If you didn't know that God had a purpose in it, I guarantee you around that 100-year mark, it might start getting old. It might start becoming a little harder to preach the word. It might be a little harder to be able to continue to work on this ark. There's not even been a drop of rain in 100 years. But he knew God had a purpose. He knew God understood the timing of things. Our flood was not going to come until the ark was completed. And if he did things according to what God told him, it would take him 120 years. That's getting the whole family involved. Can I tell you that God does allow some things to happen? But it causes other things to happen. Not everything that happens in our life, God causes to happen. Most of the things that happen in our lives are just a product of what God has already established in nature. Sometimes we have physical infirmities. Can I tell you that God does not cause you to have a physical infirmity every time you get a cold? What happens? How do I do that? It's just the laws of nature. There's germs. Amen. There's different things that's going to take place. Just what God has put into action, what God has established as the laws of nature, is just going to happen without God causing everything to happen, but he's the one that put it into place. And by his design, it's appointed unto man once to die. So by design, every one of us will face a physical death. By design, every one of us are going to start wrinkling up. Why? Because it's God's design. The body is physically dying, amen? It's aging every day of our lives. Once you get so far, you know, it's revitalizing itself. Once you get so far, then it's downhill. I mean, it goes fast. God doesn't cause that, but God designed it. God doesn't cause you to have cirrhosis of the liver, but he designed that if you're going to drink too much alcohol, then that alcohol can destroy your liver. If you've got cirrhosis of the liver, it wasn't because God designed it. It's because you sinned, and that's just a penalty in the results of sin, doing what God tells you not to do. And you could look to that in so many different areas. God does not cause everything to happen, but he's aware of it. And if he's aware of it, he has to allow it to happen. But there are certain things that God does cause to happen. And when he told Noah, I will destroy the world with a flood. Listen to me. It was Almighty God who said it. And if God said it, it's going to come to pass. Nothing's going to stop. No one's going to stop what God has planned. There's no one with the authority nor the power of God. So for 120 years, God held off this judgment. He would allow Noah to preach and to build. You know, I wonder, do you see the somewhat similarities even in this New Testament church age? What is he allowing today? He's allowing the church to preach and to build. Now, we don't build with cutting down timbers, although we do somewhat to build. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about doing the work that God has us here to do. And that is to take the gospel in the lost and dying world, preach the word. Missions, whether it be local, whether it be family, whether it be neighborhood, whether it be co-workers. God's working that way today, and I guarantee even America today, there's so many out there that have never been presented with a clear plan of salvation. Sad. But he would allow that for 120 years just to preach and build as a witness to mankind. Well, the purpose for it, the cause, it was God. The time, when, and what would happen, God caused it to happen. God brought it on. He said he would, and he is, and he did. The purpose, chapter 7, verse 21, verse 22. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all of in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Is that not what he told Moses or Noah back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17? Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and every living thing that is on the earth shall die. So we know the cause for the great flood, it wasn't just evolution. It was not with purpose, nor was it without design. It was designed by God. He had a purpose for it. And the purpose was judgment. God proclaimed judgment. And he proclaimed when the judgment would come. And it was time. The ark was completed. The grace and the mercy of God had been extended. And it was time. But can I tell you that after 120 years, I believe when it first started, when Moses first started preaching, and the fear was first presented that there is coming a judgment day, humanity feared that. And I believe even in Noah's day, when he first started building, we started preaching, I think that things might have calmed down a little bit concerning sin just to see if it was true. Great sermon of a long time ago is Payday Someday. Payday Someday. When these men were standing and proclaiming this way back when, there was more fear that it was going to happen. There was a greater fear that the rapture is going to take place and hell is real and God is going to judge. And when there's a fear of judgment, there's a fear of consequences to sin, listen to me, people start second guessing themselves as to living an ungodly lifestyle. But after 120 years, I told you we'd go back to that. Let me take you back to Luke in chapter 17. After 120 years, and as was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They were just living life however they wanted to live it without any thought of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 helps us to understand this is true with humanity. The longer you put off disciplining your child, the less fear they have that it'll ever happen. Amen? And they'll get behind you and they'll laugh and say, they forgot. High five. The older we get, the easier it is for us to forget, too. The older we become, you know, it's just, Oh, yeah, I was supposed to spank you when I got home. Amen. That's why the Lord gives us children while we're young, so we can remember to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The more that a sin-natured individual, and all of us are, the more that we get by with sin, and we look around and lightning does not strike us from heaven, and we think that, wait a minute, well, evidently then if I wasn't judged, God must have approved of it. And we'll start justifying whatever sins we want to justify, because if it was God, if he didn't approve of it, then he would have stricken me dead. He would have brought judgment upon me right as soon as I did it. But that's not always the case. The truth is, if God says he's going to judge sin, he will judge sin, but the timing is in his hand. So, after 119 years of hearing Noah preach with no results, no judgment, seeing him build this big old box of a boat, so-called boat, with no rain, no water anywhere in sight, it became more of a mockery. There was no fear that they would need that. There was no fear that it was going to flood where they were at. Become more of a mockery as to God's design for judgment. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter. Everybody follow me tonight? Amen. The purpose of it. The Bible gives us the purpose of it. In 2 Peter chapter 3. It's been 2,000 years since Christ came. He sent it up to heaven with the promise of he would return. I'll come again. Promise of the church being raptured. Been 2,000 years. There might have been a little bit more fear that was going to take place 1,900 years ago. Maybe a little less fear 1,500 years ago. And even less fear 1,000 years ago, to where we come today, very little fear that there's going to be a rapture. Very few fear that there is a place of hell. Amen. This is the way it is. Look what it says. The Bible warns us against this in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look what it says in verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They had the very same thought then. And yet God did fulfill his promise of judgment. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It's only been 2 days since Christ told us it's coming, it's happening. That's what he says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, look right here, will come. Why? Because God said it would. Been 119 years. Now the people have almost no fear that what Noah is preaching is true. The people have no fear that they're going to have to need this ark. They're going to have to need to get into this ship, this boat, in order to be saved from a flood. There's no fear. The purpose remained the same, whether there was fear or not. It will come to pass, and it is to judge sin. It's a penalty of sin. Death and hell are the penalties of sin. He gives us the, and we're going to end with this, but the dynamics of the flood. I don't know that you've seen this before. There's a lot of neat stuff as you start breaking down the Word of God and studying it. There was a cause. God caused it to happen. God has a purpose. He revealed the purpose for this flood. And then the dynamics of the flood. The dynamics of the flood. Look in verse 18 to 20. The waters prevailed. This is the dynamics. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. It was just designed to float. That's all. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heavens were covered. 15 cubits. God knew exactly how long it would have to rain, how long it would take to be able to flood the earth to this place. And he wrote it down. He said, write it down. It's going to be 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Now, if you would look at 15 cubits, a cubit is about 18 inches. Mount Ararat, where the ark was come to rest on, they say is 17,000 feet above sea level. 17,000 feet. There's 5,280 feet in 1 mile. So 15 cubits would be somewhere around 22 feet above the highest mountain on the earth. Which that equates to the flood being 3 to 4 miles above sea level. Come on now. That's hard to even imagine. If you were down at sea level and looked up, it would be 3 miles of flooding. Wow. Where did all the water come from? How did all this take place? I mean, that's what the Bible says, and God knows He designed it. And He tells us exactly where it came from. The sources of the water, three different ones we find here. First of all, verse 11 and 12. Bible says in the 600th year, and He tells exactly when. God says, I want you to know that it's all designed. 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, and the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Nonstop. Not a mist. It rained nonstop for about, I think the guy said, for about an hour and a half here last year. And that little garden area we have out there in between, it come down so hard in just that amount of time that it flooded and went into the Sunday school rooms and everything else in that little area right there. It's unreal how much water can come down when it's raining cats and dogs. Non-stop. That's why he emphasizes, he says, 40 days and 40 nights. Non-stop. A violent downpour. And what even makes this more dynamic is it was the first time it ever rained on the earth. As far as we know, Genesis chapter 2, look back there with me, Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, this is how it was until God designed to flood the earth. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now, the mist from the earth, there were many believe that somewhat like the geysers, that there was a God's irrigation system. Didn't have to rain from above because God put in an irrigation system and it just came from beneath. And there would be enough there to cause everything to grow as it needed to be grown. Who knows what kind of lakes were underground? Who knows what the world, the landscape looked like before the great flood? When you understand that much water, understanding how it all came about, how it would destroy the earth, how it would carve out things like the Grand Canyon. That could have been where it exploded. It was not a meteor from outside. It could have been a lake that exploded, amen, that caused a lot of the flooding of the earth. I don't know all that, and I don't need to know it. I just know what the Bible says about it. First time. So who knows what the earth was like before the flood? We know that it was a perfect environment. There was men and women who lived over 900 years. That goes way beyond what we can understand. I don't know what a 900-year-old person would look like. I don't think they age the same as they do now, possibly. I don't even want that image on my mind. I gotta get rid of that. All right. Well, anyway, rain, 40 days, 40 nights. The second thing he tells us here in verse 11, "In the 600 year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up from underneath." Fountains from under the earth. Volcanic explosions. You see what volcanoes can do? Understand how all this worked, and there was waters from underneath that God says he just exploded from underneath. In this 40 days and 40 nights of nothing but rain, during this time there was explosions, great tsunamis, I mean more than what we could understand, and all this explosion underneath the earth, no matter what the earth was like at this point, God says underneath the earth all this water came out. And one other, the Bible says here, verse 11, "And the windows of heaven were opened." Now some might look at that and say, well, that was just the rain, but that's the rain clouds that produce the water. Many believe it was a firmament, not rain clouds, but that God divided, and during this time, he just allowed it all just to drop. With the rain and the explosions underneath, and then the heavens of the windows of heaven opening up. Possibly three different ways, sources. What a dynamic of the flood. God helps us to understand it was designed. I designed the earth to be flooded. I designed the earth when I created it to be able to do this. I designed the firmament to be able to cause it to rain. I knew exactly what was going to take place. I knew when and how long it would take to flood the earth to the depth that I wanted it to be. Intelligent design. And then if you'd look in closing here, the waters prevailed. Verse 18, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. The waters did what God designed them to do, and they destroyed everything. Except for what God protected. The ark. God's plan of salvation. God had his hand upon it. when all these explosions under the earth, when everything was happening coming from above, the atmosphere and all the different turmoil that was taking place on the earth, and humanity and everything that had breath in the nostril died, God said, I'll protect the ark and everyone in it. God's design. It's the very same way today. God knows when the church will be raptured. We don't know. We're not supposed to put timetables on that. We just are to know that it will take place. The longer, the less people are going to fear it. The less people are going to believe it's going to happen. But it will happen. There will be a tribulation period on this earth. There's going to be total destruction. There's going to be more things taking place on this earth than what we can imagine. And ultimately, this planet Earth will be totally dissolved by heat. And the only one that's going to sustain life is the ones under the blood of Christ. The ones that God says, you're mine. I'll protect you. So what we need to learn from the great flood and seeing how that it mimics what we're going through even today, make sure you're living in a way that has God's protective hand upon your life. If God's hand's upon your life, nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing's going to take place outside of God's will. And all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Wow, what a blessing. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.